talking about AI stuff?
We are.
Okay.
Yeah, is that cool?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I don't know either. Do you feel intelligent about it? Do you feel artificially intelligent about it?
I just don't know if my phone's going to turn into a robot right now in the middle of me talking about it.
Speaking of some version, well, I guess it's artificial life in the sense that it's a fictional life. I saw Project Hail Mary.
You know, I read that book. It was a great book.
Yeah. Ainsley's about 2/3 through the book and she's loving it. She wants to read the book to go see the movie. And I mean, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
I'm looking forward to it. I'll wait for it to come out on home.
Oh, yeah.
I won't quite go to the theater anymore.
See, the biggest reason, I'm not defending it one way or the other, but the biggest reason I still like to go to the theater, it's one of the few times that I'm not like trying to be productive, that I can be focused. Because like if I'm at home watching a movie, like it's so tempting to have the phone out too. It's so tempting to like hit pause and go switch the laundry or go do, but if I'm at a theater, out of respect, I keep my phone in my pocket.
See, I don't struggle with any of those things. I'm watching a movie.
You're such a nonconformist.
Sound systems up loud, drywall's rattling.
No, I get distracted.
Yeah, I heard it's good.
Yep, it's really fun.
And that's our future, Joe. When the robots take over the planet.
When the astrophage becomes a problem.
Yeah, we're going to have to go to other planets to start over again and live with spiders.
Yeah. Well, spoiler alert, that's not how that all plays out, but.
Yeah. I'm just saying when the Terminators come.
Yeah. This is becoming.
They've been warning us about this since like 1984.
It always is funny to me, probably even before. But at least then, you're right. It's funny to me when, like, a generation later, people start almost, like, trying to produce what was warned about in a movie. You know, when they're, like, building the weapon systems that are governed by an artificial intelligence. I'm like, we all watched this.
Yeah, we saw
that. Why are you trying to build it?
I saw a documentary in 1984 where they sent a Terminator back through time.
Yeah, it was amazing.
And it chased down it's the rebel leader. Have you seen this documentary? Mm-hmm.
I have seen.
Oh, it is crazy.
Wasn't it called something like the Termination of something?
The Terminator. And then they did there's episodes. So there's a Terminator 2, and they totally changed it. I mean, the way that the technology changed up in that second documentary was unbelievable.
These are the moments.
Have you seen the documentary about the rat that cooks in France? Have you seen that one?
I have.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It lives under this guy's hat.
And pulls his hair, right, to make sure the decisions
are... Yeah, and it cooks the most amazing meals.
Yeah.
I didn't know they had trained rats to do that.
Yeah.
It's mind-boggling.
Yeah. A peek behind the curtain, excuse me. I never know. I'm like, is this the stuff we scrap or that we keep in? Like, we're keeping it in this week, though, so here we go.
Did you see on the news where this giant hole opened up above New York City and aliens started coming through?
I did. There were small aliens and large aliens.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
I think that happened.
Thankfully, they had that special task force.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were ready for it.
We'd have never gotten through it.
Oh, man. Yeah. Thank God for those Navy SEALs. Stopping that madness.
Thank God for the way that he protected us when the sky opened up and aliens came through.
Yeah, it blew my mind. It blew my mind.
If you have questions for this podcast. well, welcome to... I don't know what we're doing. No, welcome to Mixed Messages with Jeff Bogue. You're actually probably receiving some mixed messages from Jeff Bogue right now, and you're not exactly sure what we're getting into. But I'm Joe Caruso, and we are really glad you're still here. Maybe you started listening like 3 minutes ago, and then you're like, should I stick around?
Yeah, it's always, you know, it's a fair question.
It's a toss-up. but there is a lot of noise out there, and it's not always clear what to believe or how to live, and we just want to help. Sort through the mixed messages all around us and follow the way of Jesus. So let's dive in. Not unironically, a lot of our oddness in the last few minutes kind of leads into today's question. And to be quite honest, today is March 25th, 2026. That's when we're recording this. And I say that because I feel like the development of this topic could be drastically different 2 months from now, let alone a year from now.
Yeah.
And so if you're listening to this kind of in retrospect, I think a lot of the principles and stuff we'll cover today will still be very true, but the state of what we're experiencing could be drastically different.
Yeah, who knows?
As the Terminators take over and the sky opens up above us. All right. Well, our listener wrote in and said, hey, I think I'd like to have a discussion about AI, which is artificial intelligence. And as one last piece of banter, we partner with a ministry called Authentic Intimacy.
Yeah.
And they were talking about, like, how does AI use AI? And then I said, well, whatever you do, you need to have Allen Iverson as your spokesperson so that AI could talk about AI at AI.
There you go.
Like, so we just got to really drive that home. But artificial intelligence, there are lots of questions swirling lately, ranging from, is it just another technological advancement tool? To, is it something as extreme as is the mark of the beast that the scriptures talk about? This has me thinking that that's for sure that I need to have this conversation. I need to have that clarity. Is it just another tool? Or is it Revelation 13 playing out in real time? In their circle, they say that people are talking about this quite a bit, so they wanted to throw it out there. So, Jeff, how do we think biblically about artificial intelligence and even technology as it kind of shapes our life experience?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. It's an interesting time. So biblically is a caveat that I think is complicated. I think what I'll say about it to begin with is this, is that right now, AI is nothing more than a technological advancement.
Sure.
And so if you took what we interact with on a normal and daily basis and back it up 50 years, it seems like magic and voodoo. Like I'm 54 years old. I could not imagine watching TV on a phone.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't imagine having a phone outside.
Sure.
I couldn't imagine. I had an Atari, was it 600 or something like that, where you had to program your own things. Like these are super old things.
Jason was very excited about that reference.
Yeah. And my phone is 1,000x more powerful than that.
Maybe more,
So if you would have told me in 1975 that I was gonna walk around with a phone, a computer, a calculator in my pocket, I would have been like, you lost your mind.
Well, that used to be a teacher's joke. What, are you going to walk around with a calculator in your pocket every day?
And you're like, yeah, I do.
Well, apparently.
In fact, now I don't even use the buttons. I ask it, and it just does the math for me. So technology in the scripture isn't afraid of technology per se. So technology in and of itself is amoral. It's what you do with it. So is AI good, bad? I'm like, it just is. It's a computer program. And it can do good and it can do bad. And I think we're all recognizing that more and more. It can help diagnose medical issues in a person that we couldn't have diagnosed that way a few years ago. And it can take somebody's job away.
Right.
It can let you have access to information. Elon Musk said that AI is going to make every human being on the planet a genius. And you kind of feel that way because I'm like, oh, just ask it. It'll do that math real quick for you. It'll do this. What are the ramifications of that? Well,
right.
There would be massive ramifications because there's no moral compass attached to that information.
Yeah.
So that information can be deadly. AI is not accurate yet. It's still wrong about 20-25% of the time. And by the way, it's wrong about the Bible, about that much too. Like you don't just, a lot of Bible quotes, scripture quotes that AI will give you are not accurate and they're incomplete.
I heard somebody once say, you know how like you can sometimes see an AI generated image and there's like a third hand, you know,
yeah.
Or like they said, that's how you have to treat the text information too. It's not that all of it is unnatural. It's just somewhere in there, there's likely the quote-unquote third hand. And so if you're trying to quote it or hang your hat on it, you need to double-check it.
Yeah, you need to look at it. And then on the other hand, it's wonderful. I use it daily, and I can tell you, like, when I'm researching for sermons, one of the things that I've really enjoyed about AI is it has broken my patterns of Bible study in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you ask me a biblical question— I'll tend to have a preloaded answer for you. Well, AI will bring in like Old Testament pieces and stuff like that that I hadn't thought about before tied together. I'm like, oh, this is wonderful. Like you're thinking about God's word in a different way and in a broader way. And that's a wonderful thing. And it misquotes the Bible all the time. Like I don't trust anything as far as, I would never cut and paste
right.
Bible stuff from AI into anything and make it reliable. So I think we're seeing all that happen. I don't think it's wildly different than electricity coming on grid or the internet coming on grid, except that it is faster and it is more powerful. It's probably a piece of technology that has been introduced that has been adopted the fastest, that is the most powerful, and we're not quite sure what that power is or what it means or what it does or how to harness it correctly. So you're watching, obviously, like the government is racing toward it. You're watching, like right now, we're in this conflict with Iran. You hear about AI being used and all that. And I'm like, eh, that's where you get into like the Terminator things where it gets like scary and all the rest. So I think it's just technology. I don't think the Bible has an opinion on that technology per se. I think where the Bible comes into play is in issues of our hearts. And my big concern with AI is that we give it too much authority in our lives. So I would say this in a couple ways. Like one, I think when you ask AI a question, you receive that question as truth. And when you, whether you like it or not, if you ask AI a moral question, it will give you a, it will reflect back to you a moral answer. And if you accept that as truth, where I'm not doing the work of interacting with God's word and the Holy Spirit simultaneously, I can get into false teaching really, really quick. I tell pastors when they ask me about AI, because they're like, do you use AI? I'm like, of course I do. Everybody uses AI. You're using AI whether you mean to use it or not now. You know, it's embedded in everything. But I'm like, sure, it's a great research tool. Here's my fear. I'm using that research tool after having done, you know, an undergrad, grad, doctoral work, and walking with God for 40 years. It's from that perspective I'm analyzing the answer it gives me. If I decided, if I'm younger and I just skip all that, then I don't have the wisdom to interpret the answer that it's been given, it's given me. And like that becomes dangerous. Because most falsehood starts in slivers, not slices. And so a little sliver here, a little sliver there can take you down a path that is wildly unbiblical. So those are the challenges. In some ways, it's not incredibly different than what the internet did. You know, when's the last time, when I went to college, I had to go to college to get access to the library. I can't tell you the last time I used a library. I used the internet. When I was writing my my doctoral dissertation, I actually had to move to Indiana for 10 days to finish writing it because I needed the books and the building. I would never do that today. I would research it through AI. So that kind of stuff is wonderful. And then there's a shadow side to it that's dangerous. And to me, that's the way technology works.
There's a descriptor that I heard about AI that I think in one sum or in one word can sum up a lot of what you're saying. That shadow side is it's the fact that it's frictionless. And so whether it's the information where I'm not actually absorbing this. I'm just quickly regurgitating what something else or someone else said. And then especially if we went down the rabbit trail of like relationship, because AI can have, they have these like, they can simulate a conversation. They can simulate empathy. It can simulate a companionship or a mentorship. But the fact of the matter is that computing has no soul and cannot love you. But because it's friction, I don't have to go do the work of making a friend or of even a dating partner if I'm single, because this AI can give me a frictionless response to allow some of those neurons to fire. And, oh, okay, I'm chatting with somebody. You're not.
It's nothing more than getting high, you know, and it's a false euphoria. Now, it's interesting to me, when I talk to young adults, if they, like when they're on Instagram or TikTok or whatever, if they think you're, if a video or reel, whatever comes up, and it's obviously AI, they're interested in it. If they think you're trying to sneak AI in, they resent it. So I think there's going to be a backlash, which brings a bit of a balancing, where people are going to want authentic things and real things and natural things, and we're going to learn to live with AI. It's the same backlash I saw post-COVID. When COVID forced us all onto technology and we're Zooming and, you know, working from home, the backlash from that has been, I don't want to use technology. So like when we were doing that, even a little bit here at the church, the group of people that we could not get to go to the Zoom Bible study was the young adults and the teenagers. And they are the ones that when they come here on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, they'll hang out and talk until 3 o'clock in the morning. They want the real relationships. My children who are in their 20s, they would rather come over and play a board game than a video game. So it will adjust a little bit. Now, this whole thing, is it the Antichrist? No. I'm like, I have no idea. And neither does anyone else. And so you don't get all paranoid about that. When the Antichrist arrives, first of all, if you are a Jesus follower, you will be gone. So the Lord will put us out of here. Secondly, Jesus himself does not know when he's returning. So if he doesn't know, you're not going to know, and you shouldn't worry about it. Third, when you think about the return of Christ, the point of the return of Christ is so that we are passionate about proclaiming the gospel today. So give your energy to that instead of trying to figure out if it's the Antichrist or not. Is it or not? I don't know, but I do know you can use AI to make the gospel go further faster. We do it all the time. I'm like, so in the meantime, if it was meant for evil, God can use it for good. And so give yourself to that. Don't give yourself to these conspiracy theories or this speculation that's impossible to understand.
There's always going to be some kind of fear monger out there that's trying to get you scared about everything.
I just find it fascinating that so many people, and by the way, this is not new. There's nothing new about this. This has happened since the beginning of the church. So many people want to speculate and predict the return of Christ. And Jesus himself does not do that. It's one of the most un-Christ-like things. So if you ask me, we've done episodes on this. Maybe we can link to them in this one. If you ask me, are we in the end times? I'm like, of course we are. Jesus was here, died, went back to heaven. We're 100% in the end times. How long do they last? I don't know. Jesus doesn't know. Well, how do we get ready for him? Start telling everybody you know who Jesus is, that he loves him.
The mission
him,
and doesn't change, exactly.
The mission doesn't change.
I think if we look at the tool of AI, it can actually free us up to do more of the mission we were actually sent to do. So like the point of a Christian using AI shouldn't be to replace ministry, but to free up from the administrative load to do more ministry. And so if you're the type of person's like, I'm stuck, you know, organizing all these spreadsheets all night long, and that's why I didn't have time to connect with my neighbor. Well, guess what? Now your spreadsheets can get organized and you have plenty of time to have dinner with your neighbor. And that's just a crude example, but there's lots of ways for us to use tools. It's what we've been doing with every advancement of technology. I mean, but before, you know, you're carrying around a little scheduling book and you're like, yep, I can totally meet with you, just to come back to the office and realize somebody else booked an appointment for you. Now you got to scramble. It took forever. Well, now there's apps out there where you're like, click, it reads your schedule for you, you're available, done, right? So when I one of my favorite things about doctor's appointments and car appointments now. It's like, just go online and click the one I want. It works. It's done. It's handled. That stuff's fantastic. It frees you up for quote unquote real life. And anything that would begin to pull you away from the things of God personally, whether it was technology or a piece of bubble gum, you should probably try to avoid it.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter that it's quote unquote artificial intelligence. That's not what's evil about it. It's what is it doing to you?
Yeah, I think I'm way more concerned about doom scrolling on your phone mm-hmm. right now, and that's killing your soul. What I am doing is I'm watching AI, I'm learning, I'm using it where it's beneficial to me and to the kingdom of God. I use it. Nobody knows where this thing's going, including the guys who are creating it, and we'll find out. I don't think it's the ultimate tool of the devil. I think it's new technology. Mm-hmm. I think the evil one tries to steal, kill, and destroy us with anything he can get his hands on. Mm-hmm. And I think Jesus redeems anything he gets his hands on.
Yeah.
And that's the way that we should approach it. And the calling of the believer is real life, real relationships. Mm-hmm. To the point that AI helps that, kind of to your point, great. To the point that AI starts to substitute that, I'm like, be super careful. That's not healthy for you. And then where does it go from there? I'm like, I don't know, but we're going there. Like mm-hmm. that genie's out of the bottle, mm-hmm. and it's only going to develop more and more. And I don't know fully what that means, but I know that it's not shocking Christ. Mm-hmm. God's not taken off guard, and his will and his plan cannot be thwarted by anything that mankind thinks up.
Yep. I was thinking about how you're drawing that out, and what you're kind of alluding to is ironically the great commandment where, like, you can't love God and you can't love others just because you got the right answer faster.
Yeah.
And so, like, if AI can help you get the right answer, that's all fine and good. That's not going to help you connect with your loved ones. That's not going to help you connect with God. So fine, you got the right answer, but the relationship, that love, that connection, those rhythms, that's still the human experience. That's still the mission of the gospel. That's still the call of God to connect with him. There's no cheat code.
No, because the soul is dead without relationships. And I think this is where we have to admit that. Like, it's an irreplaceable thing that technology can't do, because, like you said, because it's soulless. Mm-hmm. And I actually love that frictionless idea. Like, there's the push back and forth, the look in your eye that maybe you don't agree with me. Like, mm-hmm. those are all things that train us and teach us and make us better people. And I would say for the believer, you cannot negate the role of the Holy Spirit in your life. Mm-hmm. So a answer from the Bible is not the text.
Right.
The answer from the Bible is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that happens when you interact with the text.
Yeah.
And the Bible's super clear about that, that knowledge puffs up, that even the demons know the word of God. That's got nothing to do with it. It's the Holy Spirit within us. And then it's also the Holy Spirit that draws us together. Mm-hmm. So that's what's irreplaceable. That's what has to be fought for. The technology side of it, I'm like, I don't know. I'll be interested to find that out with you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, I hope this helps shape, especially if you're not a person that's been doing deep dives on how this plays out with AI and our faith. I hope this helps you a lot. And if you have other questions you'd like us to tackle, or maybe a follow-up question, you can head over to bath.gracechurches.org/mixed messages and send them our way. We'd love to dive into this kind of stuff too and help us all find those ways closer and closer to Jesus. If these conversations are helping you, let us know, and you can do that even more specifically through subscribing, following, rating, or reviewing the podcast, which will also help others find this content as well. And of course, we'd love to see you here at Grace this weekend, whether in person or even online. Thanks so much for jumping in with us today as we continue to seek God's voice through all the mixed messages around us. We'll see you next time.